And welcome back to Beneath the Surface. I'm Susie Wiseman. Well, this weekend is Memorial Day, and it's kind of a tradition that I have Joshua Kors on every Memorial Day and every Veterans Day, it seems. He returns to update us on the treatment of the veterans of the Iraq and Afghan wars, as he's done, as I just mentioned, every year. Joshua's reporting on medical mistreatment of veterans, published in The Nation, has earned him several journalism prizes, and the newest one is the Deadline Club Award for Best Investigative Reporting from the New York Society of Professional Journalists. And Joshua was at the original hearing of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which just ordered an overhaul of the Veterans Administration, reversing a lower court ruling that said vets didn't have a constitutional right to timely health care. So I'm very pleased, Joshua, to have you back. Congratulations on all the prizes that you've gotten to be able to talk about this historic case. And maybe I should just mention that you've also had the George Polk Award, the National Magazine Award, the Military Reporters and Editors Award, and so much more. And because of this three-part series that you did in The Nation, we got an awful lot of feedback from it. But it also caused the Congress to have a House Committee on Veterans Affairs hearing, and that's convened to investigate your reporting. And that testimony led to the creation of these new laws. So welcome back, and let us hear what's going on.
It's quite an opening, Susie. It's great to be with you.
Thank you.
This Court of Appeals, it's an absolute stunner. And for Memorial Day progress, it really shows a step forward. The lower court, as you'd said, the hearing I attended in San Francisco, the judge basically said, yep, it's true. These wounded soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan aren't getting medical care. They're not getting health care. They're not getting the mental treatment that they need when they come back with shell shock. But hey, it's out of our hands. We don't have the jurisdiction to handle a case like this.
We're so bureaucratic, aren't we?
Well, you know, they didn't want to overstep their bounds. They didn't think that the soldiers had a constitutional complaint here. The appeals court, with thunderous language, came down and said absolutely wrong, that veterans do have a constitutional right under the Due Process Clause to get timely health care, to get timely mental health care. And that is going to mean a complete overhaul of the VA.
That's excellent. We talked about several specific cases, not just the Luther case, but I think it was Jimenez, and was it Townley, the other guy's name? I'm trying to remember.
That's right, to all of them, yeah.
Yes, and that they were misdiagnosed, some saying that they had, after being blind or deaf, that it was because of a pre-existing personality disorder. So
that's right. There are really two central problems to the VA system. The first is the one you just mentioned, the push on these wounded soldiers to get them to sign fraudulent documents saying they had a pre-existing condition and thus aren't eligible to get disability and medical benefits. Soldiers coming back with shrapnel wounds, with deafness, with blindness after being struck by mortar fire. They're saying, oh, pre-existing condition, not wounded in war, thus we have no responsibility to cover you. The other problem is just really the system itself, this proof system that I think so many Americans don't even know about. They think soldiers come back and get the treatment they deserve, and that's not the case at all. Wounded soldiers have to prove their wounds came from war before they can collect disability benefits.
And don't they also have to prove it with specific battles when, in fact, some of this is cumulative?
Yeah, absolutely. They have to get buddy statements from fellow soldiers who were there on the scene. Well, if those soldiers died in the battle, now they have no witnesses. With Sergeant Jimenez, the one you just mentioned, he came back with shrapnel embedded in his skin, yet there he was 3 years later trying to prove that his wounds came from war. It's an outrageous situation, and this appeals court case may be the shock to the system that the VA needs.
And thanks to you, too, because I know that even shocked members of the House said that they were ashamed when they heard about it, and they heard about it because of your reporting. But we don't have an awful lot of time today, so I want to hear more about the good news in the sense that this reversal means. And maybe we should just let the listeners know how much this ties into the cockamamie health care delivery system we have in this country, and that if we actually just had a national health care policy, we wouldn't have to treat veterans separate from the rest of the population.
Well, that's a much larger discussion. I think the proof system itself is really the heart of the matter. why is it the soldiers have to come back and prove their wounds came from war? You know, one of the most aggressive statements in this appeals decision was the affirmation that it takes 4 years on average for soldiers to get disability and medical benefits. The VA, in its early statements, said 6 months, but the appeals court said no, after reviewing the facts, they were off by 3.5 years. And I have to tell you, Susie, even those figures are radically skewed. They say they resolve cases in 6 months, but I discovered that one of the ways they consider a case resolved is if the soldier kills himself. So
suicide is a solution to the medical problem?
On paper, it is. If a soldier comes back and is struggling, doesn't have medical care, doesn't have benefits, and after 4 or 5 months kills himself, the family might look to the VA and say, this is really their fault. They did not provide for the soldier when he came back. But in the VA's eyes, that actually improves their six-month average, because a soldier who killed himself after 5 months lowers the six-month figure.
So it's back to the bureaucracy question, but this is just insane. I mean, this is, you know, reminiscent of MASH, right?
You know, that's a little before my time.
Oops. Okay, so we won't go there, but it was the Korean War, but nonetheless, it came about, you know, the report, the series came after Vietnam. Nonetheless, let's go, it's serious. And I remember in the last program, we only have apparently 3 minutes left, so I was just going to say that our own military went to the extent of actually torturing a soldier by keeping him in unspeakable conditions to prevent his testimony. Is that right?
That's right, Sergeant Chuck Luther. They wanted him to sign phony documents saying his blindness after a blow to his head was caused by a pre-existing condition. You know, the upshot from all of this, the legal squabble, is we don't know what's going to happen next. They sent it back down and said, VA, completely reorder your system. But what the VA is actually going to do is anybody's guess. As you know, Susie, so often what Washington tells their agencies to do and what they actually do are two radically different things.
But what are the new developments in the Sergeant Luther case?
Well, Luther has made an amazing recovery. He's now actually the head of a major veterans organization, Disposable Warriors. And I think another great note for this Memorial Day is coming up on Monday for the holiday, he's going to be announcing a $2,000 scholarship for the children of these soldiers. They say a lot on this holiday, support our troops. There are others who are saying, support our troops' children. And I think that's just as important a lesson.
Finally, because we almost are out of time, you wanted to talk about some veteran-related movies, including two nominated for Oscars this year?
Absolutely. People should look out on HBO for a wonderful film coming up called Poster Girl, which is a really open-eyed look at a high school cheerleader who goes off to Iraq and comes back absolutely traumatized. You get to watch right up close as she tries to put together her life. It's shocking, it's awful, and it really gives you a sense of what these soldiers are coming through.
And very quickly, the other one, we're almost out of time.
The other one is Restrepo, which is an up-close look at what battle is like.
And wasn't it the reporter that was embedded that was just killed in Afghanistan?
Tim Hetherington.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've run out of time, and Joshua, I want to thank you again for your reporting and for your continued work on this and making certain that this is a story that doesn't go away and that is dealt with. And it looks like we have some reason for optimism as this Ninth Circuit reversal of the lower court's ruling may lead to real improvements, wouldn't you say?
I do. You know, I hope readers go to joshuacors.com, K-O-R-S. They can get all the updates on each of these stories.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us, Joshua Kors. And as you just heard, joshuacors.com is where you'll find out who he is, be able to actually look at the articles, including the three-part series that appeared in The Nation, and even just be dazzled by all of the awards that he's won for this. And thank you so much for joining us again, Joshua.
Thank you, Susie. Happy Memorial Day.
To you, too. And I would like to thank my other guests, Hisham Ahmed and Michael Dybort, of course, Joshua Kors. Thanks also to Alan Minsky and to my producer, Richard Lancaster, D'Angela Jones in Master Control. You can find more information on today's guests and subscribe to the podcast and more at www.susiewiseman.com or at www.kpfk.org, where you can also pledge if you want. But hit Audio Archives and scroll down to Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman. We're also on Facebook. Hit like to receive updates on programs and more. You've been listening to Beneath the Surface on KPFK, Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California and beyond, streaming live and archived at kpfk.org. I'm Susie Wiseman. Stay tuned now for the community calendar and evening news.